Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Walker, and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. I want to go ahead and thank all of you all from around the world that tune in each and every week to my broadcast. We've been on the air now for just over 7 years, and we have done pretty much just over 1,000 shows. So you can certainly visit my website at drjessewalker.com. or drjessewalkerinc.com. Either one of those will get you in, and you can find a show that I'm certain will be of interest to you. This show, as a matter of fact, and every show as you tune in, is available 20 minutes after the show broadcast. So you can go into the archives and check out any one of the shows that we've done, and I'm quite sure you'll find one that's of interest to you. All right, my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, she's not going to be with us this week. She's traveling, and unfortunately, she's in a meeting at this time in D.C., so we're going to go on, but she has sent someone in. We'll be bringing her in momentarily. She's brought in a lady by the name, I believe her name is Michelle Jones, that's going to be filling in for Ms. Blake. I haven't had an opportunity to meet her personally, but I'm told that Ms. Blake says that she's a wonderful person, and has a psychology background, and then we've got a very special featured guest for you this evening, a lady by the name of Lisa Westby. She's going to be joining us as well as our featured guest for the evening, and both of these parties will come in, and when they do, they will tell us a little bit about themselves. Let me go ahead and start out first by bringing in the co-host for this evening, and let's find out all about Michelle Jones. Michelle, welcome to the show this evening. You're on the air live. Tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. And before I get started, I just wanted to thank Ms. Blake for giving me the opportunity to fill in for her.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Tell us what it is, a little bit of background information. Where are you coming from? Ms. Blake said you'd be coming from an area, I believe it's Tampa.
Yes. Well, I have a undergraduate degree in psychology, and I have a master's in education, and I have been in the educational field for 23 years now, first as a teacher, and now I am a software trainer. So I have a lot of experience with children, and as you know, when you work with kids, you know, of all ages, you definitely have to use psychology, so...
Well, I don't think, Michelle, I don't think it's just children you got to use psychology on. I think it's the older folks as well.
Exactly.
You
know, and I am
there
also...
Was a time when anybody in the field of psychology, they were either crazy or they looked at everybody else as being crazy. So is there any relevance to that?
No, absolutely not. No, you know, psychology is very useful, having a background. You use it every day, and I forgot to mention also that I am married. I have been married for 13 years, so any relationships that you have, whether you're dealing with children, I don't personally have kids, but, you know, I've definitely mothered kids and nurtured kids over the years, dealing with students over the years, dealing with friends, family, your spouse, you're always using psychology.
Well, I agree with that. We're going to ask you to stand by just momentarily, and thank you for joining us this evening. And when you speak to Ms. Blake, give her our wishes to thanking you, and I will do that personally as well. We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. We're going to go and bring in our featured guest. Lisa. Oh, wait a minute, that's me. All right, we're looking for Lisa. Lisa, press 1 on your dial so that we know that you're there, and we'll be able to bring you in. All right, Lisa, if you're listening, go ahead and press 1 on your dial at this time. Oh, there you are. Okay, thank you very much
for
that.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. We have Lisa Westby. Lisa, first of all, I want to thank you for taking time out of your perhaps busy schedule to join us this evening. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do and how you do it.
I live in Santa Cruz, California, and I'm a digital marketing manager, and I've been in digital marketing for about 15 years, and kind of went to college with, you know, the liberal arts degree, arts and theater and stuff, and of course, when you get a liberal arts degree, if you want a regular job, you end up in marketing sometimes, but I enjoy it, and I have a husband. We've been married for 11 years and been together for 17. And I have a stepdaughter who's 20 and going to college, and she's delightful. And, you know, I just met you, Dr. Walker, and I found you delightful, and I thank you for having me on the show today.
Well, thank you, and we're going to ask you to just stand by momentarily. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. If you want to listen to the show live, simply call in 347-857-1769. You can also tune in via your internet. Just simply go to drjessewalker.com, press the play button, and you'll certainly be able to hear the show live in its entirety. Let me just go back, and just for a second, we're going to, some people are just joining us now. We're going to be, the format, Michelle, in case you didn't know, is the format is we'll present a story, and then we'll speak to the issue of the story, and that's pretty much how the evening goes on. You can visit my website, drjessewalker.com, and find out all the services that we provide there, life coaching services. I'm an author. The book is called Falling in Love with Me. No, I'm sorry, that's Ms. Blake's book. How did I miss that? That's Falling in Love with Me. That's her book. My book is After the Passion, Now What? After the Passion, Now What? So you can catch either one of those by visiting my website. Ms. Blake should be back with us on next week. Let's go right to the story at this time. We're going to go right to the story, tonight's story. Our characters in tonight's story are Leroy and Maggie. Leroy and Maggie dated for 6 months prior to getting married in a church with a large ceremony. They've been married now for just over 2 years. They're both in their mid-20s. They have no children, and this is their first time marriage. Leroy comes from a traditional family with strong family values, where the wife pretty much is very submissive. She's not only submissive, she's very submissive in the home, almost to the point that she is obedient. That's the word that you don't hear these days. She's almost obedient to the final word of the husband, as was the case in the home, in Leroy's home with the mother. Maggie, on the other hand, comes from a more liberal family, one of which you are created equally, with the woman having equal say in the home and well-deserving of the ability to express herself without being considered a radical. Now, that's more of what I believe in as well. Now, thus, the differences in their views has caused some serious conflicts in their marriage. It's almost now to the point where where Maggie wants out of the marriage. And Leroy insists that it's against his religious beliefs to divorce. Maggie is so miserable in the home, and she feels that this is not a marriage. Instead, it's a dictatorship, because it appears as though she has to get permission from Leroy to do just about any or everything, including buying clothes for herself, which makes absolutely no sense to me. Now, they've sought and they've actually attended numerous counseling sessions, of which have included conditional versus unconditional love in the relationships, and the dangers that may become evident when there's a lack thereof. Now, Leroy wants, and he not only wants children, he demands to have children with Maggie as his wife. But Maggie refused to have kids in this marriage because she is totally unhappy. In fact, Maggie has moved out a month ago out of the home and move in with her parents. And Leroy has his pastor now his pastor visit her on several occasions to try to tell her that her duty, the pastor is telling her that her duty is to be at home with her husband and not in her parents' house. Now, after the pastor's third visit to Maggie insists that he stopped coming by there because she's absolutely not in agreement with him and she refused to live under such conditions. The questions that we start out with tonight, and I'm going to start out with my co-host for the evening, Michelle Jones. And the question that I start out tonight with, Michelle, is it really Maggie's duty to go back to the house with her husband?
Wow. Absolutely not. It sounds like Maggie and Leroy have a big problem on their hands. And although Leroy seems like he had a very traditional upbringing, it seems as it's manifesting in their household as a dictatorship. And I don't think that, you know, that's the way a marriage should go. And if talking about conditional and unconditional love, that definitely is running along with the conditional, because he's demanding kids. He is supervising and, you know, managing what she wears, her clothes. And it seems like, you know, his traditional upbringing, which everyone always feels is a good thing, hasn't been a good thing the way it's manifesting in his marriage. And it seems like they've gone through the appropriate measures. They've gone to counseling. You know, they even brought in their pastor, but it seems like their pastor is along, you know, jumping on the bandwagon with the conditions. And, you know, she has a big decision to make, but I think he should give her some space to do that.
Right, and I certainly agree with you wholeheartedly with what you're saying. And I agree with what Maggie is saying. She's saying that this seems more like a dictatorship as opposed to a marriage. Let's bring Lisa in, our featured guest for the evening. Lisa, what are your thoughts? Is it her duty? Is it Maggie's duty to go back home to her husband? I mean, when we use the word duty, it sounds like there's an obligation, you know, but under such conditions, what do you think, Lisa?
Oh, it sounds... What I have to ask is, going back in time, for Maggie and Leroy to look at, what was their agreement when they got together? You know, was Maggie thinking, well, if he's in charge, then I don't have to make my own decisions? You know, how did Maggie create this, help agree to the situation? Of course, it's not her duty to go back or do anything she doesn't want to do. But they both have to look at why they created the situation. And now it sounds like, you know, things are shaken up enough that they both need to change, and she needs to look at, why did she let herself get sucked into something like this in the first place? And it's good that she's getting out of it, but how so she doesn't keep recreating that pattern in different ways. And her and Leroy would have a chance if they can look at what they need to, why the old relationship was serving them and why they want to evolve into something else. But if they're not going to take the time to look at that, then she just definitely needs to find something that works for her and let Leroy have his feelings about it.
Should Lisa, let me ask you this question. I mean, there's a number of things go on here that, I mean, here it is, Leroy is coming from his traditional setting. And I agree with you. You begin to wonder, why is it that Maggie didn't see this in their 6 months of dating that I'm sure she met the parents? Why is it that, but isn't it true that we miss a lot of things, those red flags when we go into relationships? Isn't that true, Lisa?
Yeah, I think that does happen. And a lot of times as women, you know, it sometimes maybe makes us feel safe that someone else is making a decision, so we're kind of okay going along with that. And then as we become more confident in ourselves, we change. And, yeah, you miss a lot of things in your first dating because you want to see what you want to see. But it's also important to look at why you got yourself there and really be totally honest with yourself. I think a lot of times people don't want to say, Yeah, I do kind of like it when my husband makes the decisions, but I don't like it when he makes all the decisions. And so being really honest with yourself will help you not just end up in the same spot. And I think that's what I'd be most concerned with her, is that she doesn't keep recreating it. Because there's a reason she entered into it in the first place and didn't see the red flag.
Okay. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is conditional versus unconditional love in relationships for success. Once again, if you're just joining us, it's conditional versus unconditional love in relationships for success. My co-host for the evening, filling in for Ms. Blake, is Michelle Jones. She's coming to us by way of Tampa. She has an undergraduate degree in psychology. And my featured guest for this evening is Lisa Westby. She's been married for, I believe she said, just over 11 years. And she's going to be speaking to the issue about conditional versus unconditional relationships. If you want to speak to folks, the co-host, or our featured guest this evening, press 1 on your dial. We would love to hear from you all as well with your comments and thoughts. And, of course, as always, you can send in your comments. Some of you all perhaps are shy to speak over the air, and I understand that. I'm still shy after 7 years. But you can send in your comments at drjessewalker.com or online at drjessewalker.com. Either one of those can get through to us. All right, in tonight's story, we're talking about our characters are Maggie and Leroy. This is a couple in their mid-20s. They've only been married for just over 2 years, and they have dated for 6 months prior to their marriage. Leroy, of course, comes from a traditional family with strong morals and values, but it's more like a dictatorship where the wife was, his mother in the home was not only submissive, but very submissive, almost to the point of being obedient to the home. So Leroy grew up with those conditions, which made him probably kind of act the way his father acted towards the mother. And Maggie, on the other hand, comes from a more liberal family where it was the woman had equal say. And this is causing conflicts. Leroy wants children. Maggie insists on not having kids because she doesn't want to live under these conditions. In fact, she's moved out of the home. So these are, that's give you a synopsis of tonight's story. And Leroy has even gone to the extreme of having his pastor go visit her. And as Michelle pointed out earlier, that it's like the pastor has sided with the conditions that Leroy presents. And Maggie now insists she's not having that. She don't even want him to come visit anymore. So, you know, we're presenting the question tonight, is it her duty to go back? So we're going to go to the phone lines once again. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to 205-908. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Hello?
Yes. You're on the show live. Who do we have with us this evening? Welcome.
This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Thank you for joining us, Jack.
No problem.
Jack, what do you think, Jack? Should she go back?
Well, she was gone for a while, right? She was gone for a long while.
She's been out of the house for a month. She's been gone for a month.
Well, as long as... If he didn't hit her, you know, if he didn't hit her, then she can go back. She can forgive him just about for anything as long as he didn't hit her. But if he's hit her one time, then more than likely he's going to hit her again. So I wouldn't go back if this guy's abusive. And even if it got to the point where he did it one time and he was sorry that he did it, and then as long as he doesn't do it again, then she can do
that.
So
that's
my vote
story.
Is
he didn't. Mm-hmm. He's not physically abusive to her. He's more controlling in the relationship.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he didn't hit her.
More
controlling. So the question is, should she go back to a relationship where that man is so controlling?
With stipulations, I think she can tell him exactly her part in the relationship and what she expects out of him, because if he's that controlling, then he's going to continue to do that. He's just trying to get her back there so he can continue to do the same thing. But if she shares with him exactly how she feels, you know, and what she expects of him, then she can go back under those conditions. But the minute he starts that controlling stuff, then she should be out of there. And this time, don't give him a third chance. Give him a gift of goodbye, as you guys have said many times.
Oh, my goodness.
I love that.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. We're going to ask you to stand by. And by the way, we're broadcasting tonight's show all the way from Tijuana, Mexico. So, hola, ¿cómo estás, everybody? We're all in Mexico spending the show tonight. Let's go to the phone lines again. We're going to go to 954-216. Who do we have on the show this evening? Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us. Rose, give us your thoughts. I mean, here it is. You've heard the storyline, I'm sure. Conditional versus unconditional love for relationship for success. I mean, should this girl, does she really have a duty to go back to this man? And I don't want to just put an adjective out there to describe him, but should she go back to him?
You know, I kind of have a mixed feelings on that. And I heard the storyline, and I listened to the comments that have been made. I think they are a little young right now, only in the 20s. And I don't think they dated long enough to realize or to see all the red flags. That's one of the things that I'm thinking. Only 6 months, and then they got married, and they're only in their 20s. You know, I could understand if they were in their 30s or 40s and dated 6 months and got married, because they're older, and when you're older, you seem to know a little bit more what you want, and you probably have that eye to see the red flags really quick in someone. But the fact that they're in their 20s, that might pose a problem with them getting married so early. Now, as far as whether or not she should go back, you know, I really don't think she needs to. I think by now she has spent 2 years with him, and now she has seen exactly who he really is. And it's not that either one of them are so bad. It's just that they do not complement each other. They were brought up so different, and they expect different things. And they're not going to be happy together, in my opinion. It's going to be one is going to win and one is going to lose. One is going to compromise and give in to please the other one. But how long is that going to last? You know, the fact that he is so controlling and she is not accustomed to that, she is never going to get used to that. So I think she's still young. They're still young. I think they need to just move on, you know, from each other.
Okay, well, comment that you've made, the six-month deal, let me address that just for a second. I mean, you can actually, it said that you can actually date somebody for 3, 4, 5, 7 years dating and not necessarily living together. But then when you move in, that's when you really learn the person. So does the six-month dating really make a difference in their young ages?
I think it does, because someone can pretend for 6 months, and because they are so young, she might not have seen this in him. 6 months, you are still in that honeymoon phase where you don't really see the wrong in a person, especially when you're that young. You know, I mean, there are exceptions, of course. You might have a young person that can detect this because, you know, they're more mature. But in your early 20s and dating for 6 months, all you're seeing in the person is what you really want to see, the good, you know? So I think you should take a longer time, more time, in order to really see the person for who he or she really is.
All right, Rose, we're going to ask you to stand by. Lisa, let's bring you in once again. Lisa, you've been married, I believe you said 11 years. Is that correct?
We've been married for 11 and together for 17.
17 years. So you knew each other. Mm-hmm. Was there time prior to your marriage, those 6 years that you all were together, did you just date for 6 years? Did you cohabitate? You know, did you move in with each other? I mean, what happened there? What has made your marriage successful?
Well, we lived together. We dated for a while. We lived in an apartment together. We bought a house first, then we bought a dog, and then we got married.
Okay, all right.
Backwards. Yeah, right. We committed on the bank. That, I mean, we always knew, we didn't always know, but there was, you know, a period of time where we could, okay, if we're buying a house together, we know we're going to end up married. But we are just slow, I guess. And, you know, I'd say if I had to boil, I could tell you hours of marriage thoughts and secrets, but I think the key thing is, behind every relationship, there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of love, and sometimes there's a lot of I don't know, chi, sometimes we get mad at each other or something. But the key is to keep your focus on what's working. That always works for me. If I start to notice, oh, it's bugging me or whatever, things go sideways so fast, it just goes crazy. So I think with all that love energy and all the reason you ended up together, you know, it's kind of like driving a car at 100 miles an hour. If you turn the wheel just a little bit in the wrong direction, it goes pretty bad. But if you're only going 5 miles an hour, it's not a big deal. So I think it's really important. And my success has been anytime I think things are going a little wrong, I just say, okay, what do I love about this man? What's worked? And sometimes it takes me, you know, I'm angry and I have a hard time thinking of it. But as soon as I get my energy going that way, things really turn around. And it's just, it's the one miracle thing. If I could bottle that, I'd give it to everybody. So.
I like what you said when you bring that in, and perhaps if he's thinking the same way, when things are not going the way that you want, you say to yourself, okay, what is it that I love about this man? And he probably says the same thing when, you know, you're getting on his nerves. He probably says, okay, what is it that I love about this woman? And I can see that working. We're going to actually stand by just for a second. Lisa, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. My co-host filling in from Ms. Blake this evening is Michelle Jones. And we have our featured guest this evening, Lisa Westby. And we're going to go ahead right now to Michelle and ask Michelle, and then we're going to counter or come back to Lisa in just a second. Michelle, with your undergraduate degree in psychology, give us your views on conditional versus unconditional love. And then we're going to have Lisa speak to that, and then we're going to go back to the phone line. Michelle.
I think conditional love is loving someone with restrictions. I love you if you do this for me. I love you if you buy that for me. I love you if you act a certain way. There's a lot of conditions and restrictions, you know, with conditional love. And I think unconditional love is I love you because of everything that you are, with your faults, you know, with your shortcomings, and I love you anyway. You know, I think that's a real big difference. And I also wanted to comment on the amount of time that they know each other and how that relates to the relationship. I've known people who have been together for 10 years and, you know, they've lived together and they've dated a long time and then they get married and then things fall apart quickly. So I don't necessarily think that it has so much to do with the time. Of course, 6 months is a short period of time, but I think that a lot of times couples make mistakes and they don't have key conversations that they need to have when they're going into the next phase of their relationship. When you're going into a committed relationship, you need to talk about a lot of different things. And a lot of times people don't know the answer to those questions until they start getting into conflict. So you need to start talking about how you're going to deal with finances and how you're going to rear your children. And if you're different faiths, how's that going to look in your relationship?
And
you know, there's a whole slew of information that you need to know from someone that you plan on spending the rest of your life with. So if you don't have those key conversations prior to getting married, even though you're getting along and you feel that you know the person, if you don't know a lot of these important decisions that will affect your life together as a couple, I think that's a recipe for disaster.
You know, I hear what you're saying, Bill, but the question becomes, and you talk about the length of time, and there's validity within that, I believe, as well, but the question becomes, who's going to be honest and tell the truth, you know, when you even have the conversation that you're having about the finances, you know, about children before getting married or moving in together. So who's going to really be honest? If the guy really looks at her as the apple of his eye and he's like, I want her, because he's looking at that physical, and she looks at him also physically and says, oh, this is a nice-looking guy. And that's often one of the first things that you hear. Oh, she's a nice-looking woman. Oh, he's a nice-looking man. You know, and there are other things you're hoping that you can change within that person. But who's going to really be honest?
I would be honest. I mean, if you're making a decision for the rest of your life, why would you lie? I don't know. I have a little bit more faith in people, and I would think I'm the type to to trust until you give me a reason not to. But I feel that, you know, marriage is important. And when you're asking these key questions, I definitely would not lie. You know, people don't change. You know, they don't change unless they want to change. And I don't know. I've never gone into a relationship lying. I mean, if someone asks me particular questions about my beliefs, I'm going to be very honest with, but that's just me. But I would hope that two people going into a committed relationship, a marriage, would be truthful with one another. I would hope so.
All right. Let's bring in, Lisa, just before we come back to you, Rose and those of you all that are trying to get in, let me go to Jack just for a second, and Jack, get some thoughts on conditional versus unconditional. And then let's bring in, like, oftentimes people say they don't understand conditional or unconditional love. And, you know, and I've heard people from a religious perspective say that God loves us unconditionally, but then he will also destroy us. Jack, let's get your viewpoint on some of that, what your thoughts are. And then, Lisa, we're going to come right back to you.
Well, I love what Lisa was saying, and I think she was on point with that. The unconditional love is just, like you said, how God looks at it, and then how we're to look at it as well. I love you in spite of even with your faults and all. But conditional, I like what she said, with the restrictions and all, you know, but you're going to have to do certain things because this is what I expect of you. And same thing on the other hand, on my significant other, I'm sure she would feel the same way. But as I was listening to her, you know, you want to be as truthful as possible in a relationship. You want to tell the person everything that they need to know about you from the beginning and tell them what you expect rather than going in blindly or going in, you know, falsely or saying things that you know you really don't mean. But in a relationship that I've been in, I've been in a relationship for a number of years and all, and maybe things start off in a fantasy world in the beginning. You know, these are the things that you expected, and then when things didn't go that way, then you would get upset. You would get upset, and then the other party would get upset. So then you would have your little spouts and whatever. But then, you know, like Lisa was saying and all, you say, you know, what really drew me to this person? Why did I really love this person? Why do I really love this person at all? And so that outweighs everything else. You know, even though you have your battles, you know, your talks and everything and all, you have to look at the whole picture. I mean, is the grass green on the other side? I don't think so. Okay, because you know what you have, you don't know what you're getting. So if you let this relationship go, that you go with someone else, that matter, it could be even worse than what you have now. So I think it's a trust factor. I think you have to come out with it and share basically how you feel about a relationship. You got to say it all. This is what I expect in a relationship. Let them tell you exactly what they expect in a relationship, and then they have to meet each other like halfway. And I've said this many, many times on your show that it's not I'm giving 50 and you're giving 50. No, it's both of us giving 100%. I'm giving you 100% and you're giving 100%. And that's what really will make the marriage work, and that will what would make it last.
Right. And I think that was some of what Michelle was bringing in. My co-host was filling in from Ms. Blake tonight, was also alluding to say, Dad, we're going to ask you to stand by. Rose, we're going to come to you in a moment. We know you're buzzing. Let's go back to Lisa right now. Lisa, you talk about unconditional love and versus conditional love, and Michelle mentioned about restrictions, you know, for the conditional component of it. You know, and I think that that's what conditional love is. It is, in fact, I love you because of these conditions. Unconditional is going beyond those conditions and loving you. And then, you know, my question has got to be, how can you really or can you really love somebody unconditionally, regardless of what they do? You know, take you with all your fault. If you go out and cheat on me, I understand it's not all your fault. You were just having a bad day. I mean, Lisa, help me out here.
I can, okay. I think I know what you're saying. Okay, so the first layer of unconditional, let's talk about, you know, there's, I love it, everything Michelle and Jack, you've been saying, and Rose, I can't wait to hear what you're saying, and thank you, Jesse. So I think the first layer of conditional versus unconditional is you loving the other person despite, you know, these things that are not your preferences, let's say. But the other layer to this I want to add, and maybe this will answer your question about, you know, how can you love people when they're being extremely naughty, is if we think about what makes a happy marriage is happy people, right? It's not that the other person is perfect. And what I found, and I'm definitely working on this, I'm really working on this, is being happy yourself despite the conditions around you. Because it's not so much that I'm going to feel 100% forgiving about your behavior, but there are times in your life where whatever's going around you, if you look at it, it's never going to make you happy. And you got to dig super deep and be practically Christ himself to forgive somebody for something. But if you can say, look, I'm going to choose the best feeling thought I can feel right now and choose my feeling. And even though if I look at this, it's horrible, I can still choose my own feeling. And if you get in the habit of trying to choose your own happiness despite the conditions around you, that makes you a happier person and you are of more value to not only your spouse, but to everybody that you're trying to get in contact with. And that sort of that extra layer of unconditionalness is that you are happy despite the conditions around you. And, you know, I've borrowed that concept from other, speakers, but I think that's really helped me realize that I can't just have it all perfect on the outside and then I can be happy. I need to be happy first. And hopefully that adds another layer to that conversation and maybe answers your question. I don't know. But
mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this question, Lisa, before we move on to the phone mm-hmm. lines again. We're going to bring Rose in just a second. Does that mean that you, let's say when it comes to unconditional, does that mean easily forgiving or forgivable?
Well, it's more about, I think forgiveness is, something that everyone needs to master the art of, and we're all trying to not judge each other. But the real point is because we do that because we want to feel better. So we have to find a way to feel better in every moment, because that leads to forgiveness. You know, you could say, okay, this person, as you said, this person cheated on me because they were lost and they couldn't make the right choices. And you can forgive it all you want, but you have to say, you know, it's kind of like you can have, someone can smash your car and you can be angry, or someone can smash your car and you can be happy. And not because your car was smashed, but you get to choose your feeling. That's the
okay.
free will that we have. You know, so it's about right. the free will. Like, what did God give us? Free will. That's about it. And you get to choose
okay.
how you
that's,
feel.
That's interesting.
So I think that's what I'm coming back to. Yeah.
Choose your feelings. They just cheated on you. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Lisa. We're going to go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to Rose. Let's bring her in. Rose, they just cheated on you, and you can choose your feelings to be okay with that, forgiving, or you can say, well, they were having a bad day. They got it wrong, as Lisa was saying. What do you think, Rose?
I'm sorry, I did not hear you. Go ahead again, please.
Yeah, we were just saying that when it comes to unconditional love, how might that relate to forgiveness or being forgivable?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It depends on how hurt the person is. Now, if you have unconditional love for that person, you're going to still love that person anyway. It does not mean that you won't be upset with the person, you know. And forgiveness is something that if we want to be forgiven by God, we're going to have to forgive others. Therefore, you might forgive the person, or you will, or you should. It does not mean that you have to actually stay with that person, depending on whether or not you can actually trust that person again. I'm not sure if we're actually talking right now about Maggie and her husband, but in any relationship, when it comes to unconditional love, you're loving that person regardless of what that person does or does not do for you, okay? And forgiving the person, yes, but doesn't mean you have to actually remain with the person if that person did something to you so hurtful, as if, for example, if that person is physically abusing you, you're not going to want to stay with that person. Although you might find it in your heart over time to forgive that person, you're still going to do what is best for you. Get out of that relationship. And you might still love that person, but you might not be in love with that person. You love that person as a brother or a sister, but you don't want to be in that relationship because it is hurtful for you and might even end up killing you. So although you might have unconditional love, it doesn't mean you have to be stupid, so to speak. The Bible tells us that we have to be wise.
I love it.
Okay.
That's awesome.
I like that. We're going to go to the phone lines. Oh, my goodness, the show, the producers are warning me with all sorts of messages. We got to take some of the comments that are coming in. We got a number of people still waiting. That's what, you know, as I always often say, the show goes real fast. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got a number of people that have been waiting, trying to get in. Rose, we appreciate those comments. And from all of you all, let's bring in 786-985. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Yes, hello. This is Mrs. X. And I'd like to say hello to everyone. And I'd like to address the issue of the unconditional and conditional love as it applies to the Bible, religion, God. And that is, God did set conditions. And one of his conditions was that we obey the Ten Commandments. And even some of the Ten Commandments have conditions added to them. Even as parents, you know, we say we love. I mean, let me go back to that, to the Bible. If God loved unconditionally, I doubt that he would have denounced Satan from heaven, because he did have conditions for you to be able to reside there. And once you overstepped your boundaries, you know, he took actions upon it. Even in our homes, you know, as parents, we say we love our kids unconditionally, but all throughout their lives, we've set up conditions. You know, you must have your room clean. You got to get good grades. You got to do, you know, there's so many things that are expectations. Those are conditions. So I don't know that we always love unconditionally, because, you know, we've set the groundwork conditions. A husband has conditions set for his wife. Wife conditions for a husband. He must be monogamous and he can't cheat. So, you know, there are all kinds of conditions set up. So I don't know how much of it is unconditional that we actually love.
Okay, that's an interesting point, Ms. X, and we're gonna ask you to hold on to that thought, because I do want to pose a question to you. But for now, let me go to, we're going to try to bring in some of these other calls, and they're telling me I've got to get to some of these comments that are coming to the studio. Let's go to 732-310. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live. Who do we have with us? This is 732-310. You're on the air live. Looks like a New Jersey number. I did want to ask you a question. And the question was, when you talk about, in terms of God, setting conditions, but wouldn't you think that he's within his right, even though he's given us free will, and he says, you don't have to follow those conditions that I've set, but if you want the life that I have for you, the ultimate life, then you will follow these conditions. I created you. So doesn't that give him, I mean, there are those conditions. And even when you mention about the enemy, you know, Lucifer, Satan, that he kicked him out of heaven, if we go to that point, that he didn't follow those conditions, then where does the question of what is free will then in that case? And we're talking about conditioned versus unconditional love and relationship success. Ms. X, just briefly, because we got to go to the comments.
I don't know how much of it is free will, because I don't know the measuring stick that he uses to measure whether we followed those conditions. I have no idea. You could do 100 good things, one bad thing. You know, you could meet the conditions, but you do one bad thing and he wipes you out. Maybe you do 100 bad things, but you do that one good thing that outnumbers those bad things. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know his measuring stick.
All right.
3 weeks.
We're going to ask you to hold that thought. We've got to take some of these comments. But let me go back to Michelle Jones just for a second, and then I want to bring Lisa in. Then we're going to go right to the comments. Michelle, when in terms of conditional, we talk about conditional versus unconditional, I mean that unconditional can be a strong thing. And I wonder, with psychology, study of psychology and just being human and life experience, I mean, how much could a person take when it comes to unconditional love?
Well, I think it depends on the context in which you're speaking. And if you're talking about it in the sense of one of the spouses, one of the parties is being abusive and, you know, cheating, you know, being irresponsible, doing things like that, I think if you're talking extremes, then, you know, it's hard to understand. But I think if you're talking in the context of, you know, in a relationship where, you know, sometimes people don't get along, sometimes people, you know, have arguments, they have disagreements, they think about things and they have different beliefs and, you know, whether it be how to raise the kids, how to pay the bills, where they want to go on vacation. I mean, there's so many different things that couples, you know, can disagree about. And when you talk about those things, you know, as far I'm thinking of the normal scope of things, because I've even listened to shows on your show before, and people talking about things as petty as, oh, you know, if your spouse snores and things like that. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, you would leave a relationship for something like that. But this, in the normal scope of getting along, like I have a girlfriend who, you know, her spouse is not the greatest with money, and that for her is like a biggie. And so she has a restriction as far as that is concerned. And it's just, it depends on what it is. It depends on, you know, you're not telling anybody to be abused or, you know, to deal with someone who's always cheating on them or, you know, just mentally abusive, anything like that. But I think sometimes in relationships, people end up growing apart because of differences that possibly could be worked out. And I don't know, it's just, it's all very subjective. It's very hard, you know, but I feel like if you love someone, you, like Lisa said, you think about the things that you love about that person, and then you don't let the pettiness take over your relationship. I think that's strong, and that can keep you together, because I think sometimes people let the everyday pettiness take over their relationship, and that's where the unconditional, I think, could really come into play.
All right. Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by, Michelle Jones, in just a second. We've got to take some of the comments that are coming in. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. We are about 10 minutes before closing tonight's broadcast out, so please bear with us. Here's a comment. Lisa, we're going to give you this first comment that is coming in and ask you to speak to this issue. The comment comes from a female. She says, I don't think that most people even know the difference between conditional versus unconditional when it comes to their relationships. She said, I understand what you said about unconditional versus conditional, but how realistic is it to love someone when they're constantly getting on your nerves and putting you down? Lisa, let's give you that comment. You want to know how realistic is that?
I think, I love that, thank you. If someone's getting on your nerves and putting you down, you maybe just need to set boundaries or get out of the relationship. Unconditional love is when you've chosen to say, okay, I'm going to actually love someone, then love doesn't necessarily mean condoning behavior. Maybe I didn't make that clear. It's setting up conditions so that I can only love you if versus, you know, I will love you. And I think Rose mentioned this earlier about, you know, just because that person, they may not be the right fit for you in a relationship, but that doesn't mean that you have to shut your soul or poison your own well when you think about them. You can say, you know what, this isn't working for me. So I can be done with you. I can love you, but I can't love you in this relationship because you're not treating me right or whatever's happening. You know, we talked with Maggie and Leroy. So I think it's really important to realize that just because you can love and accept and not judge and forgive doesn't mean you condone behavior. you know, there's a difference. And I know it's not realistic to be like a saint walking around. We're all human, certainly. But I think it's our effort and our intention that we wake up with every day going, you know, I want to be able to see through the eyes of God, to see what he sees in each other and not see our petty judgments, as Michelle mentioned, which can kind of pull your energy the other way. I don't know if that answers your question, but.
Yeah, it does pretty much. We're going to ask you to stand by, Lisa, just for a second. We're going to try to squeeze in as many more comments as we possibly can that have come into the studio. And we're going to ask you all to address them. We're about 8 minutes outside closing show out. And we're going to ask you to just give your synopsis of some of these thoughts. Jack, we'll come to you in just a second. Let's go to, let's see here. We're going to go to 863-412. 863-412. Welcome to the Dr. Jess Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Yes, how you doing, Dr. Walker? Welcome
doing
back, Jack.
Great,
Howard Brown.
Who do we have with
us? All right, all right.
You got Dennis on the air.
Dennis, right, thank you for joining us, Dennis. Dennis, give us your thoughts. What is, you know, when it comes to this conditional versus unconditional love in relationships to have success?
I listened to the whole show. I heard the storyline. Somebody said that they're love is blind, but you still should be able to see something. Maggie should have saw some of these things coming along. Unconditional love. I ain't know how it still exists nowadays. Maggie should have seen this coming because I forget the man's name, but he was the same way from the whole time.
He could not
have just changed like that. They couldn't have had any counseling. They didn't read your book after the passion. Then what? Because they would have learned something. But they didn't listen to anything. They just follow. This is what it sounds like. They just follow passion, and when the passion was over, what did they have left?
Right. Interesting perspective, Dennis. Very interesting perspective, I might add. Lisa, we're going to bring you in just a second. Lisa is our featured guest for the evening. She's going to be coming back with us. We're talking about tonight's topic, conditional versus unconditional love. Michelle Jones has joined us to fill in for Ms. Audrey Blake, author Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement. Ms. Blake is traveling this evening, so she wasn't able to be with us. We're going to take another comment, and, we are threatening me now. We are so close to closing the show out. Jack, let me bring you in with this comment here. This mail writes in. He says, when I learned what conditional versus unconditional love was, it immediately improved my relationship with my wife. We now look at our love and our marriage differently without judgment of any kind, which clearly makes a big difference. Rose, we'll bring you in also, but Jack, let me start with you and ask, why do you think that this must have made a big difference, you know, when he learned the difference between conditional and unconditional? Jack?
Well, first of all, I want to say kudos to Dennis. Whatever he said, I agree with. And give a shout out to him as well. But unconditional love, we already know. The guy said that they were judging each other from the beginning.
Yeah, where's your sweater?
They were judging each other from the beginning. But once they realized that what unconditional love and conditional love was, then they stopped judging each other. So now they started respecting each other. And I think that plays a vital role in any relationship, to learn to respect each other. Respect the time that, okay, and I've heard you say this before too, Doc, that I need my space and she needs her space. So once they understand that, well, you can have your space. You may want to go on a separate vacation or whatever. And I'm not saying do that often, because that's not good. But if you did that every once in a while, then it's an absence makes the heart grow fonder. Then when you come back together, then you can really, really enjoy each other and talk about some of the things that what kind of like drew you apart and why you want to have a separate vacation and all that. But I think unconditional love is there for all of us. You know, I'm going to love you in spite of all the faults that you have. And conditional, I have to go back to what Michelle or whoever it was that said, that it comes with some restrictions. It comes with restrictions. And like Ms. X said, we love our children, but we set parameters for them. And then she talked about how God, you know, she didn't know exactly what his measuring stick was, but I know that from my readings that he gave Satan, who was Lucifer at the time, he gave him every opportunity to repent. So that was that unconditional love that he had for him. But when he reached a certain point, the brother had to go. He had to kick him out. And it's the same way with us. When you reach that certain point, Leroy had to go, and Leroy and she shouldn't give him a she should give him a gift of goodbye because he went past that boundary line.
Okay. All right. Let's take another. Miss X, we're going to bring you back in for this next comment. The party writes in, this male writes in, he says, I had serious issues with placing conditions on my relationships over the past several years. Listening to this show tonight will undoubtedly make a big difference in my life. He says, thank you, Dr. Walker, and your guests for doing the show tonight. Well, we don't know why it will make a difference, but we can only hope so. You're listening, Ms. X, tonight. What do you think that this guy is grateful for?
The fact that he did set some conditions, and evidently those conditions worked for his relationship.
Okay. All right. That's reason enough. Lisa, let's bring you back in. What do you think? This guy is grateful for this show tonight. What do you think may be a contributing factor that makes him so grateful?
You know, I think each of us makes a decision on what to appreciate. And I think maybe it's all of us coming together to just share our ideas and each of us trying to get closer to a higher level of love.
I think that that's an important view as well. We have time for just about, okay, let me know. We have time for just about two more of the comments. We'll try to squeeze in three. Let's go here. Dennis, let's give you this comment. This party writes in, she says, my husband and I learned about conditional and unconditional love over 15 years ago when we first got married. Since then, we have had a wonderful marriage. Excuse me. And she goes on to say, I am sure it's because of learning about conditional and unconditional love. It has worked for us. Dennis, do you think that if people learn that early in their relationships, it could also work for them?
Yeah, if they learn it and accept it, you know, there's people have personal opinions and don't want unconditional. They want it just their way. And when you want it just your way, then it causes a problem. And so there's no conditions that is going to work under. But if you're willing to give 100% and the other person is willing to give 100%, then you work together. But if you're only going to give 50%, two 50% partners don't work. It has to be, you have to put 100% in.
Okay, excellent. And that's what Jack was saying earlier. Let's go up here and take another look. Lisa, let's bring you in for another comment here. Let's see, this female writes in, she says, I wish I had known about conditional versus unconditional love when I had been married for over 12 years. Unfortunately, my husband and I divorced, and later I learned about conditional versus unconditional love and how it could have saved my marriage. I realize you cannot change another person. What do you think about that?
She realized that she can't change another person. Yeah. You know, to that caller or that commenter, don't beat yourself up. That was a learning experience for you to understand what it really meant, and you're going to utilize that knowledge in your next relationship. And, you know, don't use the moment of your past to beat yourself up now, because it's not doing you any good. And I'm pleased that unconditional love is part of your life, because we're all working on that. So that's wonderful.
All right, and there's the last comment that has come into the studio. And let's see here. We'll give this one over to Jack. Jack, let's give you this last comment that's come into the studio here. He says, he sends in his comment, he says, I think as humans, we all need to learn this early in our relationship because it can make a difference on how to accept your significant other for who they are as they learn to accept who you are. The unfortunate thing is, I think we all try to change one another, which is what causes the major problem. That's true. We all try to change
one another.
You want me to respond?
Yes.
I hear a lot of feedback. But anyway, let me try to respond to that. We can't change a person. I remember early in my marriage, you know, I had set parameters, and I'm sure she had set parameters and all. But I wanted to kind of change her to my mode of thinking, and I'm sure she probably had in the back of her mind. It wasn't a controlling thing. It's just that I wanted you to reach a certain level. I wanted you to do certain things, and until I learned later on in life that that's not going to work. Because that was causing problems because she rebelled. It's the same way with a child. When you try to push him to do certain things that he's not capable of doing, then they tend to rebel. So I had to learn that. And then after I learned that, I gave her every opportunity to do her thing. And then we worked together for a common goal. I think that we don't have problems because every relationship has a problem. If someone tells you they have a perfect marriage, you're not telling the truth. But you have to work together. You know, as Dennis said, and I've said it many, many times, you got to give it 100%. And then and work towards a common goal.
Okay, on that note, we're clearly out of time. Lisa, we're going to give you the last 30 seconds before I close the show out. Any final thoughts, Lisa, as our featured guest this evening, to tell the people about conditional, unconditional love, how to make it work in your relationship?
Stay focused on that that's your intention, to see with the eyes of God and source energy of the universe, you know, just try and see the people as a higher being would see them instead of getting stuck in the mud. And love yourself. That's the best gift you can give to your partners and your friends.
All right.
See
on
yourself
that note,
the same way. Yeah.
On that note, I want to go ahead and thank all of the callers that have come in. Special thanks, of course, to Lisa, our featured guest this evening. We continue to wish her well and her success in her endeavors. And also thank our co-host this evening, Michelle Jones, who was filling in for Audrey Blake, who should be back with us on next week. Thanks to all of you, all the callers and all the listeners. Those of you all we weren't able to get to this evening, we do apologize. Don't give up on listening to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Tell your friends and family members about us. And those callers who've been trying to get in over the past time, we do apologize to you all as well. All right, join us. We're clearly out of time. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us once again back here live next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We'll be more than likely broadcasting out of Chicago. I'm sorry, not Chicago this time, but out of Mexico again on next week. So until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless. And thank you, God.
Thanks, Dr. Walker.